Our scripture text for today comes from Luke chapter 14. If you would turn there with me, if you have your Bibles. Luke 14, beginning with verse 12. And if you would stand for the reading of God's holy word. This is the word of the Lord. He said also to the man who had invited him, "When you give a dinner or a banquet, beginning with verse 15, I apologize. When one of those who reclined at table with him heard these things, he said, 'Blessed is everyone who will eat bread in the kingdom of God.' But he said to him, 'A man once gave a great banquet and invited many. And at the time for the banquet, he sent his servant to say to those who had been invited, "Come, for everything is now ready." But they all began to make excuses. The first said to him, "I have bought a field, and I must go out and see it. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to examine them. Please have me excused." And another said, "I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come." So the servant came and reported these things to his master. Then the master of the house became angry and said to his servant, "Go out quickly to the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in the poor and crippled and blind and lame." And the servant said, "Sir, what you commanded has been done, and still there is room." And the master said to the servant, "Go out to the highways and hedges and compel people to come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet." Here ends our reading, and you may be seated. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word, and we ask that you would prepare our hearts to hear what you are saying to us as we meditate on this word. May your Holy Spirit stir in our hearts to lead us to repentance and faith, that we might hear this invitation and accept it. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has given us a parable, a story, a picture of a great banquet and a generous invitation. And this invitation is sent out about this meal, a great feast with everything delicious that you can imagine on there. And imagine your favorite foods laid out on this table, ready to go. All is prepared. And now you get this invitation. In this story, those who received this invitation, surprisingly, even though it was a great banquet, one that would have drawn a lot of attention and certainly would have had the delicacies all over this table, would have been an unusual thing, a great celebration that you would think anybody would want to go to. And yet, despite all of that, these people start to make some excuses. And there's 3 of them that are given as an example. And the first 2 make excuses about money and possessions. And the first one says that, "I bought a field and I must go out and see it." And he excuses himself. And another says that he bought 5 yoke of oxen. He must go examine them. And he excused himself as well. Now let me ask you this. Is it wrong to purchase land? No, there's nothing in Scripture that condemns this idea. Or even buying oxen, would there be anything wrong with that? Or maybe in a modern idea, a tractor or a truck or something like that? Some transportation or a work tool like that? It's not condemned to actually do these things, but notice that they are using these as an excuse to get out of going to this banquet for some reason. In fact, these are definitely excuses, because think about what's happening here. That they are not just saying that I have to go take care of some business, some important business. They're saying that they have to go do something that doesn't make any sense, like go rearrange your sock drawer. This is clearly just an excuse to get out of it. How many of you would buy some land sight unseen? Probably none of you, would you? How many of you would buy 5 yoke of oxen or a tractor or a truck without test driving it first? You probably wouldn't, unless you had some great trust in the person who was telling you or something like that, or maybe you're trusting in insurance or some legal action that you could take, but you wouldn't take the risk of not checking these things out beforehand. This is like saying to someone, I need to go test drive this car that I just bought. Well, clearly you would have done that before you bought it, and now it's no rush for you to go and take care of this now. They're just trying to get out of this banquet for some reason. The third excuse is slightly different. And here this one says, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And this one's a little bit more serious. This one makes a little bit more sense. You know, you've got an important relationship. Does God highly speak of marriage in Scripture? He sure does, doesn't he? It's a good thing. Marriage is a wonderful thing that God has put in place. In fact, all of these things are things that God blesses and tells us to be doing, to be working, to be living in this world and have jobs and to get married. And Scripture blesses these things. But now this man who is bringing up this important relationship of marriage, he is now using this as an excuse to not come to the banquet. And what he's saying here is that I have different priorities. I have different priorities than this. There's something more important to me, and it's this relationship, this other relationship. And so they all turn down this invitation. And then the servant came back and reported these things to the master, and the master is surprised. He's prepared this amazing gift for these people, this feast, great banquet, and they won't even come, even though it's just a meal. I mean, how hard could it be to sit down and enjoy the meal and then move on with your life? You could just come and enjoy it. It's right here. It's free. It's all prepared, and yet they're rejecting it. But now he has all of it prepared, and he is wanting people to be enjoying this great gift. And so he tells his servant to go out into the streets and lanes of the city. Now this is no longer friends or family that he's inviting. These are strangers. And not only that, but he says the poor and crippled and blind and lame. He is so generous and so wanting this meal to be eaten that he invites these people that you would normally not invite to a party like this. And then there was still more room at the table after all these people came in. And the servant said that he had done what he had been commanded, and there's still more room here. The master says, go out now to the highways, the hedges, and compel people, make them come in, that my house may be filled. For I tell you, none of those men who were invited shall taste my banquet. And so now those who have turned away this invitation initially are no longer welcome. But everybody else has been now invited to this banquet. You know, this is a parable. This is a story that is to make you think and understand a situation, but with a spiritual application. And really, this is talking about the kingdom of God and comparing it with the kingdom of this world. And so the story is an earthly example that we can understand, but he's pointing to a greater spiritual truth about the kingdom of God and a great feast or a great blessing that he wants to invite you to come and enjoy. And in this heavenly kingdom that he is actually speaking about, we've got some things that represent these greater truths. For instance, to borrow an application from Martin Luther, the plate in this example is the Word of God. The Word of God is coming before you, and the pastor is actually the waiter, the server, the table waiter, coming and telling you about this meal and presenting this, inviting you to come and sit down and eat. And the food that is on the table and on the plates, what is that? If you would look with me, keep your finger here, flip though to John chapter 6. John 6, 53 through 56. So Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Whoever feeds on my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him." You see, Jesus is the food on this table, and God wants you to receive Jesus, to be blessed by him and his presence, that he would fill you and sustain you. You know, part of this picture, and this is a strange thing, we're not talking about cannibalism here, but a spiritual eating. And we think then of how in the Bible, Jesus is called the Lamb of God. What would happen with the lamb in the sacrificial system? You'd take the perfect, spotless lamb, and it was to shed its blood for the sins of the people, right? And this lamb during Passover then that would be the sacrifice for them would also be roasted and consumed. And they, as they celebrated the Passover, when God passed over them and saved them in Egypt and delivered them through the Red Sea from slavery, and the picture then too of us being saved by God from our sins and delivered by him. And they would continue to celebrate that. And then Jesus came as the great Lamb of God. And that the Old Testament lambs had pointed forward towards Jesus. He was the real picture that they were pointing towards. And so Jesus is this roasted lamb, this feast on this plate for you. And even now, I am your waiter, the one inviting you to this party to come and sit down and eat of this. You are being invited to the feast of God, to be blessed with Christ and united with him. As we think back then on this story a little bit more and what the point is for us, we've got to think back to these excuses that are being made by these people. And think about them. They are saying that they have other things that they need to go and take care of. Do you ever make excuses or try to get out of things? I don't know about you if you ever struggle with procrastination or getting your priorities out of place. One thing that I was reminded of when I was in college and taking classes is that I noticed that there would be certain chores that I wouldn't want to do, like it could be cleaning the bathroom or something that I didn't really want to do, and I was kind of avoiding it. But then all of a sudden there's a test coming up or a big paper that's due, and all of a sudden now, for some reason, that is the thing I want to avoid a little bit more, I think. And so now I'm willing to go clean the bathroom. I'll do anything if it means I don't have to take care of this one thing. And, you know, we find these silly things. That doesn't make any sense. I mean, the most prudent thing for me to do would be to take care of it right now before I have to deal with the consequences of a late paper or an F on my test, right? The thing to do would be to heed the warning or to listen to the call that this is coming and to get ready for it. And yet sometimes, surprisingly, we push things off. Or we maybe have our priorities out of place. Think about this. A lot of times people might think, you know, well, I hear that the Bible's telling me to take my faith seriously and to study the Word of God and to treasure these things, but you know what? I've got important things to do. I've got to get ready for college. And then you get to college, and I've got to work on my degree here and really apply myself here. I'll take that stuff seriously later. I've got plenty of time. And now, well, you know, I know I'm done with college, but I need to establish my career and get married. And now I want to have kids. And now I want to help my kids get ready for college and help my kids get ready for their career. And then I want to help my grandkids. And before you know it, you've made excuses for your entire life while avoiding and neglecting this gift that God has given to you and this invitation to his banquet, to receive the blessings of Jesus and his sacrifice for you on the cross, and to eat of this delicious food that will sustain you for eternal life, all because you've prioritized things in this life more than the invitation of God, more than the food of God, which can satisfy you more than anything that you could earn through getting a great degree or having a successful career or that you could provide for yourself in this life. As important as these things could seem right now, and even if they are good things, like farming or like the kids mentioned, these different careers they might want to do, like fighting fire and all of these things, God still does call those things good. He tells you to be about good work like that in this life. But don't use those things as an excuse to deny the Lord and his gifts. Don't get your priorities turned upside down. The Lord is inviting you. You know, behind these excuses, I think, is a real attitude problem. You see, the people who are turning down this banquet, they really don't think that they need it. Do you see that? In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, we have this letter to the church in Laodicea. And you might recognize some of these verses, Revelation 3, beginning with verse 15. It says, I know your works. You are neither hot, neither cold nor hot. Would that you were either cold or hot. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. For you say, I am rich, I have prospered, I need nothing, not realizing that you are wretched, pitiable, poor, blind, and naked. You see, these people who are rejecting this feast, they think, why do I need that? I can get whatever I want on my own. I'm doing just fine. I don't need a handout. I don't need anything given to me. I'm taking care of myself and my own business. These people don't see their great need. And God said this to the church in Laodicea, and Jesus said this parable to wake us up, to expose our excuses and our self-reliance. See, when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees and the religious leaders, they were the ones who thought they didn't need Jesus and what he was offering to them. They thought they were fine on their own, and they were turning down this invitation to God's feast, to his blessings in Jesus. They thought that they were rich and well-fed and didn't need anything, when really God says that they were poor, blind, and naked, and didn't even realize it. And so to you today, if you think that you don't need these things, this is your wake-up call. You do really need them, and don't fool yourselves. Because if you reject this now, and the end comes for you, you're not getting a second chance. If the Lord comes again, or you go to meet the Lord in death, then your invitation is revoked if you have rejected it. But God wants you to know that there is room at the table for you. And there's a great encouragement here too, that it doesn't matter how poor, blind, naked, dirty, or any other thing you are, the Lord is inviting you. In fact, he is saying there is room at the table, and I insist that you come, sit down, and enjoy this feast that I've prepared for you. He has already prepared it, already accomplished all of this because he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins on the cross. And so all is finished. All is prepared. The table is set. Everything is ready to go. Sit down and eat. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for this gracious invitation, and I pray that we would not make excuses for it. Even if we have good things that we think we want to do and be about, I pray, Lord, that we would not foolishly turn this down thinking that we don't need it or that we've got higher priorities. Lord, for there is no higher priority than avoiding the fires of hell and finding our way to eternal blessedness. There's no greater joy than to sit at your table and enjoy the feast that you've prepared. There's no greater blessing than to enjoy the forgiveness of Jesus and the reconciliation that he has provided between us and you. And so I pray, Lord, that we would hear your invitation to hear that there is room at the table for us, and even us, no matter how vile and sinful we are, no matter how poor or weak we are, Lord, that you want us to come to your table. Lord, you are so good to us, and we don't deserve it. I just pray that you would give us a spirit of gratitude that we might receive this great gift by your grace and the work of your Holy Spirit in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you please turn to the inside?